Okay, press record. And then what do we usually do? Go one, two, three, don't we?
Welcome to Coach Street, the premium podcast that brings you insider coaching conversations from the fast lane. When coaches need to shift gears, they come to the Coach Street podcast. Grab a coffee and buckle your seatbelts as hosts Andrea Lee from The Wealthy Thought Leader and Robin Logan from Coach Campus learn what drives the world's most successful coaches.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Coach Street. I'm Robin Logan and I'm here with my co-host Andrea Lee. Hi Andrea, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good, if not a little bit cold. And, you know, I had to turn the heating off in order to even record this podcast. So if you hear my teeth going, that's what that's about.
Yeah, if you chatter as we go along, we'll know it's your teeth.
That's right. So, you know, today the topic on Coach Street is coaching niches or niches. I reckon I'll just say niche, you just say niche. Does that work for you?
Well, but no, because I'm in Canada and we say niche. See, now you have me confused. We say niche as well, actually, in Canada. But yeah, I can be I'll be the practice American and say niche.
So that's it. I didn't know that. There's a bit of cultural ignorance for you. Just assuming that Canada's like America. I'm sure you love that.
It's okay. I forgive you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, great. We can both say niches. That makes me happy. So coaching niches. Look, the reason I wanted to bring this topic to the podcast today, it just surprises me how it just doesn't go away as a topic in our community. And I was talking to a new coach just yesterday, and he was saying, again, why can't I have three niches? And you know what I thought? Look, we constantly teach and talk about the fact that you need to pick a niche and the tighter, the better. And then I thought, okay, look, really, why can't he have three niches? And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to ask Andrea and see what she thinks. So let's explore this topic. Are you up for that?
I am totally up for it. You might be surprised, though.
Oh, great. I love being surprised. Okay, well, let's talk about what a niche is, because I think sometimes there's also confusion about niche versus target market. So here's my understanding, and I'd be interested to hear what yours is.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is that a niche is a description of a type of service or type of coaching that is a solution to a problem, whereas a target market is more like a demographic group. So, you know, women are a target market, expats are a target market, parents are a target market. But a niche might be, so a problem. A problem could be, I am retiring, but I still want to do something useful with my life. That's my problem. So I've been in corporate for 20, 30 years. Now I'm retiring, but I'm not that old and I'd like to still have something. So that's my problem. So then the niche could be, I'm a coach who works with people who are ready for their last career.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thinking of niche versus target market.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know there's some school of thought, let's just get this out of the way, that a niche actually is a shallow recess, especially in a wall, that is often used to display a statue. And that's not what we're talking about today.
That's right.
Okay. So just making that clear. And yeah, so I agree with you that I think that's the difference. A target market refers to the person and the niche refers to the issue or the situation that the person finds themselves in. But Robin, you know, like I actually don't necessarily find these distinctions that useful. I think both of these things are good to talk about. And yeah, it's good to define our terms here and all that, but there are subsets of the big market. Like there's the world and then there are niches or niches and target markets. How's that?
Yeah, I agree. And I'm interested to hear that you don't think they're that useful. And I knew you would have great stuff on this topic because, you know, your Midas Camp and Wealthy Thought Leader, this is one of the things you do, isn't it? Like you work with people to figure out their unique approach to their business or their unique identity. Is that like similar to a niche?
Yeah, I think the thing I would say on that is oftentimes when we're taught about niche markets, it's under the guise of finding a group of people who have already gathered together in some form, whether it be in online groups or offline in meetups or in communities that are easily accessible by us as business owners, therefore making it easier to build your business. So it's easier to go find a bunch of people who are trying to lose weight because they meet regularly, as opposed to, you know, finding clients everywhere. So that's sort of the utility of these things, these subsets. But I'll tell you what, at Wealthy Thought Leader, we actually use niches for different reasons. We actually advocate that you create new niches as opposed to necessarily go find niches that are already existing. And that's what the thought leadership part is about. So there's a bit of a nuance there.
So, that's interesting, because I was quite liking the idea of finding one that's already there, thinking in business terms, they're already there, they're already a gathering, they're already wanting something.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you not just go after that market? Surely creating a new niche is like double the work.
Yeah, it definitely can be more work, but I'll tell you what, it depends on what kind of business you'd like to run. Like if you're a coach who wants to do transformational work in a specific area that, let's say, at least some other coaches have already done before, then it's very possible that your niche already exists and you can, you know, saunter up to wherever it is they're hanging out in and just access them. It is, theoretically, it is easier. However, it's also true that if you're targeting niche markets that are already in existence, it's probably true that there's competition for the attention of that niche.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason that we describe, and it's not for everyone, Robin, it's more of a subtle approach, that mm-hmm. some coaches are in fact on the leading edge of things and have these ideas that are really groundbreaking. We can give some examples if you like. And the niches don't actually exist yet.
Yeah, give me some examples, because I'm thinking it's sounding like, you know, the Blue Ocean Strategy. Mm-hmm. You know that book?
Yeah, definitely.
Where, you know, the example was take a market and a problem, but have a slightly unique, different slant on it. Like, you know, the cut price airlines that decided, you know what, people don't need food. They don't want to pay an extra $400 for food. We just charge them for food mm-hmm. and get a cheaper. So it's sort of like, it's sort of new, but it's not new.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the sort of example? Give some examples would be good.
Okay, well, there's sort of moderate examples and then there's extreme examples. Let's take a moderate example first, because you're right, there is a relationship to existing niche markets. Let's take someone in the Wealthy Thought Leader community by the name of Sarah Avant-Stover. She's the author of something called The Way of the Happy Woman. And before she began to really build her business in earnest, she was a yoga instructor. So here she was, a yoga instructor who wanted to add coaching to her business in the way of, you know, becoming a happy woman. Now, if you think about that for a moment, it's a perfect example, because women were her target market. There was no niche, right? There wasn't a niche. And she was finding it difficult to compete in the so-called niche that was available to her, which is women who enjoy yoga. There's a ton of people trying to get business from women who enjoy yoga, you know, women who enjoy healthy lifestyles, etc. And was very competitive and, you know, she did quite well considering. But when she decided to add a different element to her offerings like coaching and mentoring, she was able to actually identify a niche that had not ever been identified before and started to build a community herself from scratch of this kind of woman who was self-identifying, sort of raising their hand for the first time saying, yes, I'm interested in this new thing. And so you might ask, what is this new thing? It was women who are interested in being happy and wanting to pursue yoga during the time of their month.
During the time of the month. You mean like the special women's time of the month?
Yes.
That is an unusual niche, isn't
right. it? And no one as far
as... I just have to stop for a minute. Is there actually a market there? Like what? How many days are we talking? Not to get too technical, but what? You've got like 4 days in every month or something.
Listen, she's more than doubled her income. She's a six-figure plus, you know, coach and author. All
Get
of this
out of here.
That's I keep telling you, Robin, this is what we do at Wealthy Thought Leader.
Wow.
It's exactly that reaction. It is businesses that, you know, coaching businesses that the reaction is, get out of here. You are building a six-figure plus business doing what?
Doing what?
Yeah, that's what we... And so it's a perfect example. No one was hanging around saying, you know, I'm on my period. I really would love to do yoga, but I don't know what to do. Where is my coach? Where is my teacher? Where is my person? No one was hanging around doing that. So she had to raise her hand, plant a stake in the ground, and claim the territory to say, I'm your person. And you know what? She's the only one in that niche market now. There's no one to compete with. She's the undisputed leader.
I'm not surprised by that. And of course, now I find myself curious. I want to know. I have to go and check it out.
Yeah. SarahAvantStover.com.
Cool. That's very interesting. That's great. Giving an example like that is really good. And you know what I like about that? It's also, actually, we teach a similar thing. We call it blended coaching. And basically what we say is, you know, take something that you already do, that you're really passionate about, that you know a lot about. And this is the case for lots of coaches now. Lots of coaches are coming to the profession with very rich histories and experience and expertise in really specific areas. And so we're saying, take that and see how you can mold that and use that and create a niche. You know, don't just walk away from that, turn your back on that and start something new.
Now you're singing the song that we sing over here. It's absolutely that's actually the key. It's not actually, in my opinion, really an option. You can do fairly well generically, but it's when you bring this stuff that you're exactly what you're saying, Robin, that you can really succeed. And you might use a niche. You might use a target market. You might not. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It's what I love about that. It's the complete opposite to what my careers teacher taught me in year 10 when I was 16. Because back then it was, what are you good at? So what are you good at? Oh, look, Robin, you're really good at talking to other people. You should be a teacher or whatever. So what are you good at? And then that's what you do. But the thing is, right, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Said to be a wonderful coach of mine once. Barb McEwen, she said that just because you can doesn't mean you should. And just because you're good at something doesn't mean that's going to be the great business for you. I think it's flip that around. What do you love? What to you feels like not work? What is just what you would do anyway if you had all the money in the world? Okay, great. Now let's think how you can do what... Do you have a word for what you just described before? That thing of finding the unique element of it that nobody's done before?
Yeah, we call it your thought leadership.
Your thought leadership. Find your thought leadership. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Find your thought leadership and create a niche out of that.
But, you know, niches are useful because I think, you know, especially when you're just beginning and let's say you're learning business skills as a coach, you're just a new coach and you're trying to build a business, it may be that the time is now for you to sort out what it is that you're super passionate about that, you know, you'd do if you weren't even being paid for, and then build your niche around it. But it could also be that you don't want to forge a new path. You just want to have a few great life coaching clients, you know? In which case then, yeah, this conversation around a niche is super important. You need to narrow it down somehow, somewhere. And it's only for your sanity. I like to describe kind of like the story of, let's say, a big giant food company. I won't use a name. Let's just call it food company. There's a company that it produces food, lots of different kinds, vegetables, fruits, you know, all sorts of cereals, different lots of, you know, they have 100 products in the grocery store. If they were to market themselves as a food company, it would be very difficult. However, if they picked something like the most amazing yogurt or ice cream or something and focused their advertising dollars on just that, they could become known for just that. And then the sales of that would go up and so on. So it's like a little bit like using a needle to sew something together versus like, I don't know, using like a vise to like press things together. There's like a mass versus specific kind of element to it. And that's to me what the power of niche marketing really is. You're just deciding to market and have a conversation with the market in a certain way that's efficient and an effective use of your resources.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that that big food company doesn't sell other foods.
Exactly.
It's just that people can find them. So now we're talking about why have a niche? Why have a niche? So that's one great reason. I think the other reason that I've noticed is just the changing nature of the way people solve their problems these days. Honestly, most people will go to Google first if they're looking for something, and they'll type it into Google. And, you know, the great book called The Long Tail by Chris Anderson, which is sort of old now, but, you know, the concept there, if you haven't read that book, we'll put it also in the show notes. But the concept is that, just take the film industry, for example, you've got Batman and the big blockbusters, and they make, you know, a gazillion dollars, but they cost a gazillion dollars to make, and they peak early and it's all over and done with in a month or so. Versus, you know, the filmmaker who's passionate about fly fishing and makes a movie about it that goes straight to DVD and sells online. And if you imagine a graph, you know, the blockbuster's up there in the top left, whereas the tail, the very, very long tail, is all the many, many, many sales from people who are passionate about fly fishing around the world, because coaching is a global profession. There are no borders or boundaries. If you have something, you can find your market everywhere. So I think this whole idea of, you know, people coming and searching, their behavior has changed. So they used to search for the blockbuster, like, you know, life coaching. But people really search specifically now. Yeah. Like I do myself. I don't know about you, but I remember this great example where my daughter's birthday, ninth birthday, and as every nine-year-old girl wants, she wanted to have a One Direction party. And, of course, she wanted to invite Harry to her One Direction party. But I explained that, you know, he's in the UK and he's also very famous and probably very hard to get to. So, but you know what? I was sitting down at night and I thought, you know, I just wonder. And I typed into Google, life-size cardboard cutout of Harry from One Direction. Right? I typed that in. I don't know how many words that is, but I call that long. And you wouldn't unbelievable, but there is a company that specializes in life-size cardboard cutouts of pop stars.
I believe it.
We ordered one and it arrived 4 days later.
Oh, what a good mum you are.
Yeah, that's right. But back to the whole niching. I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? You have to have something that people are looking for and they're going to find. And I think that's why, that's one reason to niche.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the other reason I would say is that, honestly, it's just for your own sanity.
Yeah.
Because as an entrepreneur, you know, and as a coach, you have enough to think about. I like to say, if you are not overwhelmed these days, it's because you haven't been paying attention. So it behooves us to try and minimize or at least declutter the amount of stuff that we have to think about and therefore focus and be more effective. So instead of being like, let's say, a general life coach marketing to anybody, where should you advertise? What kinds of articles should you write? What kinds of networking meetings should you go to? You have too much choice. So picking a niche automatically has you say, okay, well, I'm picking a niche of, you know, like you say, senior women who have recently been widowed. You know exactly what kind of articles to write. You know exactly what kind of book to write. You can do a podcast on that topic. You could go to the right networking meetings. It is absolutely insane to think about marketing to everyone. And I mean, how long have we been in business together? You know, like Robin, more than 10 years each. So you've got more than 20 years of wisdom here, and you get to choose if you listen to it or not. You know, choose a niche to narrow down the choices so that your workload becomes more manageable.
Exactly. You know, I was having a conversation with one of our trainers the other day, and she's setting up a new business, and it's a great business for a women's weight loss. I think it's in the area of weight loss. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she also had, so she's building the website, but she was also building her own website with her name, like robinlogan.com. She was building that and the other one. Two different themes, two different colors. You know, I the first piece of advice was fold them in together. I know how hard it is just to maintain one website. You have to get traffic to the website. You need it to rank in Google. You need to connect it to Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest. It just those three, even if you didn't go any further than that. Once people get to the website, you have to find a way to convert them into a lead, etc., etc. To do that once is a never-ending task. To do it twice. So I was like, just get a tab in your main website with your name, about me. and fold them in. And look, one day if you're really bored and you've got nothing to do, you can start a whole other new business if you want.
Yeah. I think it points to another angle to look at it as, and that is if you're looking to be successful as a coach, it's really important to consider that it's much better for you to dig one hole deep to get to the water underground than it is to dig five shallow holes. And that's another way in which you can think about what a niche is for. It allows you to say, okay, I'm going to dig right here. I'm going to stick with this one and dig deep. It's because nobody else is digging in that particular way that you will actually get to something fresh. Other people are spending all their time just, you know, digging one spadeful and then moving on. You don't want to be one of those people.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, then the next question is, and this is very common, that coaches have maybe two or three areas that they actually really, really, really are passionate about and really, really, really want to do. Have you got any tips for how to choose?
Yeah, I mean, it is one of those cases of, I think you need to find an intersection of what you really want to do, what's easy, and who has the income that is discretionary that can be used to pay for your coaching. Like, you loving it is a very important criteria, but it shouldn't be the only one. So out of, let's say, three ideas that you really love, which ones also fulfill that it's an easier thing to do, like it's less difficult, less work involved, and that there's more perceived or proven income that this niche has to spend on coaching?
I'm so glad you said the thing about the pay. I mean, that's, I think, absolutely critical. Can they pay for the coaching? And, you know, it doesn't mean, I often think and say that it doesn't matter if they can't pay. That doesn't mean you can't coach that niche, but just go to one that can first, make a lot of money, and then do some pro bono coaching over in that niche that can't pay.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that comes up in this question that's sort of a tiny bit of a tangent, but really important and could save people a lot of angst, is that, you know, because we're all heart as coaches, it is very natural and very easy to want your business to fulfill all your needs. It's like a Jerry Maguire moment, if for those of you who remember that movie. It's like you want your business to complete you. But that's not actually its job. So if you find yourself sad or depressed or something that you can't do all three things, you know, kind of go find somewhere else to do one of these things, you know. It's kind of like you don't ask your partner in life to also, you know, be your personal trainer and, like, you know, your chef and all that. You know, that you spread the needs around. Don't ask of your business to be everything to you.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind one of those partners, though. That'd be good, don't you reckon?
Yeah, I know. Tell me when you find one, because, you know, maybe we'd timeshare them.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And I think, you know, the other thing is, don't be scared to change your mind. Like, you can start in one niche. I say this a lot as well. You know, start in one niche, and your niche in some ways will find you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is another way to discover your niche. Just have a look at, well, who asks you for coaching? Who are you coaching? And so it might seem, you might think, okay, this is the area I'm going in, but for whatever reason, you're attracting a completely different niche. You can just change after 12 months. It doesn't mean you have to stay in the same niche.
Yeah. It's especially if you're very new, or let's say you have less life experience than some, I absolutely agree. It's better to be in motion and be doing something and let the market respond to what you're doing, you know, what you're doing, as opposed to like trying to decide on the perfect thing inside your head.
I think, wrapping up, we're saying, yeah, you know what, as tempting as it is to start three websites or even to have three niches in the one website, or on the one business card, as tempting as that is, just pick one. I really like that thing of, doesn't mean you have to let go of the others and never be involved in those. Go find another way to do that. That's really useful. But just pick one and develop that one first. And I really like the idea of the trying to find a way to get a unique spin on it, a la Wealthy Thought Leader style. So that's another That's another great tip as well. So that's what we're saying basically, aren't we? We're saying, yeah, you know what? You have to get a niche.
It's going to save you so much angst. It really, really is.
Yeah.
It really is. And at the same time, if you can't find one right away, I like your tip to just get going with something and
get
you can
going.
Adjust. You
yeah,
adjust
just touch anyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Okay, so let's go into Spot the Coaching.
And now, Spot the Coaching.
I have a moment this week. I'm not entirely, is it coaching? I'll have to go back and listen to our first episode, What is Coaching, to see if it qualifies. But it was definitely a moment for me. I went to a fantastic conference last week and mastermind that I'm in, Silver Circle, with James Schremko. He held his conference, Fast Web Formula, last week, and there was a one-day intensive just for the 20 people that are in his mastermind. So we had, you know, the whiteboard, you know, about 11 a.m., the whiteboard is full of strategies, this and that and this. And one of the members asked, but James, can't you, isn't there a tactic or a how-to or the, you know, where's the four steps? You know, you're going to give us something like that? And he just stopped, and I thought he was going to answer it and come out with a whole other, well, this is the plan, blah, blah, blah. And he said, no, you know what? This is the thing. You know, we're trained, particularly within the whole coaching business building market, to think that there is a magic formula, or if you don't do it this way, you're missing out on this. If you need to do it like this to make your six figures, etc. And he really took it back and said, it really is just focusing on the one thing you need to do in your business now, and get the fundamentals in place. And, you know, they're not sexy, the fundamentals in business. And they're pretty, like, not rocket science, like cash flow. Have more money coming in than goes out. You know, it's not groundbreaking. But it was, I find that this is the same. And the reason I think it's a sort of a coaching moment is that really it comes back to the inner work. It always comes back to doing what you know you need to do and not looking for external props or things to get you through. And we see this time and time again in our coaching school. New coaches arrive and they want the six-folder manual curriculum, the 24-page coaching contract, the, you know, etc. And really what they need is to just be whatever that client needs right now. And it can be like a three-line email. You can start a coaching relationship with an email.
Mm-hmm.
So I really liked that.
So true. I'm so glad you made that point. I think we're getting smarter as a human race. And if there's something in our brains that is trying to force us to use our smarts, and we're making things so complicated when it's actually very simple. And so if you're tempted in sort of letting this inspirational coaching moment fuel you, the only three things that you need is something to offer. And you've got that is coaching. Someone to offer it to. And then you need to open your mouth. That's it. That's all you need to start a coaching business. The rest of it is just sophistication.
Yeah. Yeah. And fine tuning. But it's so true. It really is. And I think I see a lot of searching going around for inverted commas answers. So yeah, no, that's great. Okay, let's do some news and updates before we go.
Sounds good.
Because I want to know what you've been doing, because even though this podcast is probably going to be released in a lovely, nice little 2-week break from the previous episode, actually we haven't spoken for a while.
That's right.
So I know. So tell me, what you went to London, what was that for?
I was in London actually at the request of a coaching client. So here we are, can give an example of Spot the Coaching in London. My client, Kay White, who is a communications coach, a communications expert, she was holding her first 3-day live event, live workshop called Show Up, Sparkle, and Be Heard. And I was there to shadow coach her, which is a different kind of a different flavor of coaching, where I'm on site to really, you know, hover and watch and observe what it is that the client is trying to achieve. In this case, a pretty big deal, 3 days of teaching from the stage and making an invitation and inviting people to become her client and all those good things. And so I perform a shadow coaching kind of service while I was in England, and it was so much fun. Speaking of cutouts, she had a cutout, a life-size cutout of Her Royal Highness Queen Elizabeth II. And she was at the gala party and, you know, all sorts of really fun stuff.
What a great idea. Yeah, the life-size cutout, I think it's a real... I thought you said saddle coaching. It's shadow coaching.
Shadow coaching, yeah.
Shadow coaching. Wow, I'd like to do an episode on that. Well, how unbelievably supported would you feel? Oh, imagine, I want a shadow coach in my life.
Yeah, no, I totally know what you mean. It's like, will you please just stand in my blind spot and yell at me? Because
yeah,
it's good fun. And it's very high value because it's right in the moment. So it means that you're not just talking about something after the fact. You're right there in the moment, and I can course correct. I can even like raise my hand in the middle of something and say, well, and ask a leading question. Mm-hmm, and like help fill the gap, or ask the event team to please do this, and you know, it's very effective and a lot of fun. Wow. Too
fantastic.
Yeah.
And what's up next for you? When's your next live event?
We are having a live event at the end of September. It's we're calling it Lasting Lead Generation. We know, doing it Wealthy Thought Leader style, so it'll be debunking some myths and giving some tangible strategies for how you can get to leads more quickly without quite honestly a lot of this guff around list building, because list building is overrated in my book.
Oh yeah, look, honestly, that's another, let's not even get into that, the list building. Oh, I was going to say something. Oh yeah, where is it? Because what do you reckon in the world is the best location to hold a live event? To get a global audience, just hypothetically speaking.
A global, I mean, it depends on where you skew. Like, you could have it in, I don't know, you could have it in Belgrade, or, you know, if you want to have more North Americans, I don't know, probably, you know, I like Singapore for, like, if you're not really worried about the North American market. I think that Asia is underserved.
Yeah,
yeah.
So do I.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about these things lately. Let's continue that conversation. I'm going to get a map of the world and actually find out the physical center.
Is that what's going on next at ICA?
What's going on next at ICA? Well, you know what? I've been thinking more and more about a live event. They're pretty cool, and they're pretty amazing when, you know, that whole experience, unless you've experienced this, it's quite unique. To belong to a global virtual community and be really, really closely connected, and then like 1, 2, 3 years down the track to meet face to face. It's quite a unique experience. So
very special, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Well, I want to be invited.
Of course. I think you'll be more than invited. How am I ever going to pull one off without you?
Oh, my God. You would do a great job. An ICA conference? Come on. That's teasing. You have to say.
I know.
Next episode, promise, you'll have some news.
I can't believe I just said this live. Might have to edit it out. All right. Well, look, I think that's a wrap for getting a niche. Basically, get one.
Yeah.
You could skip the whole, 29 minutes, come straight through to the end.
Yeah, yes, but then you miss all of our charm and good looks and jokes and everything.
That's so right. You were restrained with your jokes today.
Yeah, no, I was trying to, you know, tone it down a little. You can't be a hog all the time. You have to give other people a chance to shine. It's a coaching approach.
Oh, very sweet. All right, well, I look forward to you shining next time I speak to you.
I'm so glad we get to do this again. Talk to you again. Okay,
bye. Bye.
If you want to become an accredited coach, drop Robin a line at robin@coachcampus.com or visit www.coachcampus.com. If you want to build your own successful coaching business, drop Andrea a line at andrea@wealthythoughtleader.com or visit www.wealthythoughtleader.com. Did you find this podcast helpful? Swing by iTunes to let us know your thoughts.